Hello, this is Rhiannon Evans on Grazia Life Advice. This week, we've got one of my favourite former Love Islanders.
My name is Tasha Gurry and I am a dancer and a model and I was on Love Island and I am this week's guest on Grazia Life Advice podcast.
Coming up, how Tasha has come to see her hearing loss as a superpower.
It was in my early 20s where I really started to open up and actually be like, you know what, this is who I am. I still talk about the negatives that come with it, you know, it's not always 100% easy.
Tasha has 1.5 million Instagram followers. They're mostly supportive, but she says she does have her moments on social media.
I still have people messaging me saying, your relationship's so fake, you're gonna break up in like 3 months' time. Oh, and I'm like, what? Like, why are you taking the time out of the day to say that to me?
And she says when it comes to relationship success, you have to make self-love your priority.
You have to really focus on you first and find where you're happy within yourself, and then for the rest you'll be happy on the outside, like you ooze that happiness out there.
I really enjoyed talking to Tasha, and she seems to be someone who's really got life sorted out, so I hope you get a lot out of this chat. Hi Tasha, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Where am I talking to you from? Are you in your home?
Yeah, I'm in my home in London.
Well, I'm loving having you on the podcast today. We're so excited. We've written about you so much at Grazia. You know, we called you our best dressed Love Islander when you were on the show. Don't know if you saw that. And now we're talking to you a lot about the eBay collaboration you're doing. Can you just tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so coming out of the filler, eBay kind of came to me and said, we'd love to work with you as an ambassador. I'm more of a person that supports small business brands and sustainable fashion and secondhand pre-loved. So it made sense for me to work with eBay, and the partnership's been amazing. And, you know, we both work so well together, and the opportunities I get with eBay as well is just incredible. Like, I walked London Fashion Week last week. You know, who thought I would be doing that? And that was one of my biggest dreams, even as a model, before I went on the show. So it's been so amazing so far and loving every second.
Yeah, absolutely. You're already, of course, a history maker when it came to Love Island. If people don't know much about you, can you talk a bit about what you call your superpower?
Yeah, so I call it superpower. That's how I like to define myself. I don't like to define myself as disabled. So I call it my superpower to make me feel empowered. And basically, I was born completely deaf in both ears and I wear a cochlear implant on my right ear. So going in on the show, I kind of was the first hearing impaired Islander on the show. It kind of was a turning point, I think. You know, this year they've got Ron on, who's blind in one eye. So I think it's great that it's about time this is happening in the TV industry. And yeah, it definitely was a big moment for sure. But it definitely came with positives and negatives being on the show, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, what I would say, and I don't know if you felt this, in some ways it was big and it was great that you were on there and that you were so open, and the way that you spoke about your superpower was amazing. But in other ways, it was great because it didn't really matter. Once you were in the villa, it wasn't really a thing even, was it?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's going to show how much is still not normalised in this world. You know, it still shocks people. It still makes people be like, oh my gosh, there's someone on there with a cochlear implant. And that goes to show it's not being normalised to the point that it shouldn't even shock people. So I think eventually, I hope in a few years' time, it will become, you know, normalised to the point that it's not even a big deal or big news. But it's good that it's happening now. So the younger generation, you know, in the future don't have to really worry about, you know, the headlines or things like that. You know, a lot of the press articles kind of said first deaf Islander, and it was like, I'm not a deaf Islander, I've got a name, I'm Tasha. So it's still kind of got a long way to go with like little things like that.
Yeah. And you, as kind of like in that groundbreaking territory, unfortunately, as you say, you're quite comfortable though talking about it, aren't you? You're not.
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't say I've always been open. I've not always been a confident person through my teenage years. I've always struggled with my identity, always struggled with being open about it. So I would say it was in my early 20s where I really started to open up and actually be like, you know what, this is who I am. I'm going to own it. And I still talk about the negatives that come with it. You know, it's not always 100% easy. It's hard as well sometimes, but at least I'm using my platform now to speak about that.
Yeah, and you've got this huge platform now, haven't you? I mean, how many followers do you have on Instagram nowadays?
I've now got 1.5 million at the moment.
Wow, God. That's just crazy, isn't it? Do you think about that when you put stuff up?
Sometimes I'm like, I deep it and I'm like, I have like 1.5 million people, but I don't see it as followers. I see it as people that support me and that, you know, are invested in what I do. So I think that's kind of how I see it. You know, I don't really see it as like fans or followers. I don't know. Like, I see it as like they're people as well. And yeah, it's crazy to think that, you know, I've even got that. I'm just like, what?
So we have you here to talk through your 6 best pieces of advice. And I want to start off with your first one, because we've kind of just touched on it. But your first piece of advice is to overcome challenges and obstacles. So why did you pick that?
So I think with me growing up, I had to overcome many obstacles in my life. And I believe you get given those obstacles to overcome them to make you stronger and make you come out the other side. And life throws a lot of obstacles at you. It really, really does. And it's all about overcoming them. It's all about pushing through that. And, you know, I think being born deaf and wearing a cochlear implant, I had to learn to actually talk as speech therapy. I had to really do hearing tests. I had to do a lot of hearing therapy after I got my cochlear implant. So it wasn't a kind of like, I got it and it was fixed straight away. It really was a long process. And especially as a teenager, you're always comparing yourself in such a negative way, because you're kind of still figuring out who you are at that point. And in school, I never used to talk about it. I never would wear my hair up. And I kind of just, there's no one else in my school as well that was deaf, so I couldn't really share that experience with anybody else. And I was born into a hearing family as well, so my family couldn't really understand sometimes why I'd get frustrated. So I had a lot of tough times as a kid. And I think now I've overcome obstacles, but I'm still overcoming obstacles, you know, even being on the show, coming off the show, there's still things that I'm dealing with. And I've lived in London now for 5 years. So before I went on the show, I literally was grafting, working as self-employed, as a dancer and as a model. And I was grafting to the point where I had to pay my rent, pay my bills. And I've always been taught by my mum and dad to work hard for what you need in life. And I was never spoon-fed. I was never, you know, here's money, have it kind of thing. It was kind of like, Tash, if you need to pay your rent, go work kind of thing. So yeah, I think growing up, I've kind of always been taught that obstacles will come your way, but it's about overcoming them, and you will find your way, you will find your feet. And it's all about being on your path, really.
And when you say you still face challenges today, what kind of things are you kind of coming up against?
So even nowadays, I get concentration fatigue. It's very common with deaf and hearing impaired. So for me, for example, I lip read. And think about my day-to-day kind of life. I probably speak to a lot of people in my day-to-day life and communicate with people, especially social events. For example, ITV Palooza is a good example. There's so many people there and you're having conversations with people, background music, it's loud. And I'm overworking my brain to the point that I get migraines and headaches and I just get so wiped out that the 2 days after, I'm just so drained. And it's just something I deal with. I dealt with it on the show, but the reason why I didn't speak about it on the show is because I've dealt with it my whole life. I didn't need to kind of say it to anyone. I just kind of be like, I've got a bit of headache, and that's kind of how I just, you know, do it. And I think challenges with day to day, I still sometimes have down days where I think, you know, I still sometimes doubt myself. I think that's natural though. Like, humans do have that. And I think it's still a work in process. It's still, you know, finding my confidence. I'm confident, and you know, I have my own podcast and stuff coming up, and it's like, well, actually everyone still has their thing behind closed doors, and I'm still kind of figuring out to really find my 100% confidence with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I think it's something that everyone struggles with completely. Can you talk about what your podcast is going to be?
Oh, so my podcast is called Superpowers with Tasha, and it's really all about empowering, and it's really about, it's not just about the deaf community. So I've got people on that's non-binary, so the knee injury that's, you know, shattered their dreams. I've got someone that's got alopecia, blindness, and it's really just all about sharing experiences and giving them a platform to talk about their experiences and to help people out there. So it's really empowering podcast, basically. It's amazing.
And obviously there you talked about superpower. Can I just ask, why did you start to call it your superpower? Where did superpower come from?
It came from my parents, pretty much. My dad's kind of always said it's, you know, your superpower. The days I doubt myself, the days where I felt down, my dad would kind of be like, look, Tash, it's your superpower, you know. It makes you different, of course, but in a good, positive way, not in a bad way. And I think that kind of always stuck with me. And I don't like to refer to myself as disabled or someone that's got disability. It's strange because in this kind of world, some people wouldn't mind being called that, but it's about your own identity. And my own identity is like, I like to say superpower. And I say to people, if you like to use that term as well, go for it. And the amount of messages I've had coming off the show, when I was on the show calling it my superpower, came off, the amount of messages that have been like, I'm now calling it a superpower. It makes me feel strong and empowered. And I never thought that that would happen. And it has caused a bit of controversy, though, with me calling it a superpower, because people think it doesn't make sense or I don't understand it. But at the same time, it's like, it doesn't need to make sense for you. As long as it makes sense to me, that's all that matters. Yeah. And yeah, I think it just makes me feel good and positive.
I think so often people mistake having a platform for telling everyone what to do. Like, you know, you should be able to speak to a lot of people and still talk about what works for you personally.
I agree. And I think, yeah, there's definitely a bit of controversy with it. And it's, you know, I'm not forcing it on anybody. Like when I talk about, for example, if I say, you know, children with superpowers, that's me saying, I like to call it superpower because that's how I say it. Otherwise, if I say children with disabilities, I don't know what terms they like and stuff, but I say that's a term I just go by me personally. It's not me forcing it on them or anything like that. It's just that's the term I have to go by. But yeah, it's just something that's just always stuck with me. And I just, yeah, it just makes me feel strong in a way.
Which is great, isn't it? That's what you want.
Definitely.
Bit of a shift change. Your second piece of advice, though, I just want to talk to you about this because I'm obsessed too. You say always sleep with a satin pillowcase.
Right. So this happened to me last year. I started sleeping with a satin pillowcase and my life's changed. Like, honestly, my hair game has changed. Like, my hair just feels so silky, so smooth. Because every day I used to wake up, you know, is it the cotton ones? And my hair would literally be greasy the next morning when I've just washed it, and I'd be like, what's going on? And it was one of my friends that told me, you know, maybe get a satin pillowcase. And I was like, who sleeps with a satin pillowcase? I was like, who does that? So I invested in it, and honestly, my hair can stay smooth the whole week, stay shiny, because all the dirt doesn't get stuck in the pillowcases, you know. So I'm telling you all now, go get a satin pillowcase.
Yeah, it's worth the investment.
Uh-huh.
I'm a convert. You're not there yet, Tasha, but when you get slightly older and you wake up with like creases in your face, it stops that too.
Yeah.
It's a wonder. It's a wonder. I don't know why it's not everyone's talking about it. Are you going to try and start your own satin pillowcase brand? I feel like there's a little niche in the market, maybe.
Maybe. That's a good idea, actually.
Once you come off Love Island, the idea is, right, that everyone's like throwing deals at you and brands, and obviously you were working with eBay, but was it like that? Was people just coming to you with loads of stuff?
Yeah, I had quite a few other clothing brand deals as well, and I've said, you know, it's interesting because I feel like people think we take things for the money, and that's not necessarily the case. You know, the things I've done so far, I'd taken them because it aligns with me and I'm passionate about it. I'd rather do something I'm passionate about than something for the money, because then you're not going to be happy with what you're doing. So that's why for me it was like eBay. I've done Lullabells. I've used to wear the hair before the filler, so that was an organic thing. I've done Ann Summers. I'm with Ann Summers now. I love their lingerie. I love the way they're so diverse and representation within their brand as well. I'm working with L'Oreal. So I'm working with the brands that really do align with me. And it's like, you do have things thrown at you, but I've said no to so many things. I'm that kind of person where I'd be like, if it's not going to make me happy, then I'm going to say no. Even if they paid me £2 million, I still will say no, because my happiness comes first before anything.
Yeah. But maybe yes to pillowcases. We'll see.
You never know. Maybe. I do want to start my own business one day. You know, I kind of like to have my, maybe a clothing brand, because I like my fashion. I love fashion. So yeah, maybe next year I might start something.
Amazing. Can't wait. Your third piece of advice. Tell me what that is.
Communication is key with relationships. So
okay,
with that, communication, I think everyone says it, but it really is key with relationships. Like if you don't have that as your foundation, your relationship probably 50% below isn't really going to work, because you have to communicate every single time. And I think Andrew's my first serious relationship, I would say. You know, I've made it past a five-month mark. In the fellow, I said my longest relationship was 5 months, and together it's been 7 months now. So I'm like, I made it past the 5 month. And I think being on the show, me and Andrew had such a rocky journey in there, but what kept us going was communication. You know, every single chats we had, like movie night, for example, people thought we were going to be the explosive couple that's going to go crazy at each other. But I literally sat there, I was like, oh, I do know all this. And Andrew was like, oh, we spoke about this already. And we were absolutely chill, because, you know, you don't see every single conversation on the show. You know, they can't show every single conversation. And there's probably 80% conversations weren't shown of me and Andrew. So we have a really good communication even to this day now, where, you know, if Andrew's feeling down, I'd be like, talk to me, like tell me how you're feeling, talk to me. And I think it's better to have that. And that way your communication will get stronger. And obviously relationships isn't always going to be plain sailing. It is going to get hard. So I think if you've got that, you can build on it, then you'll be fine.
I mean, relationships get hard, but what's it like when millions of people have watched you get together and seen your ups and downs, and then everyone thinks they're involved? I mean, that must add so much complication.
I think I'm still getting used to that. I think it's hard because you're in the public eye now, and, you know, and people think they have an opinion on our relationship when really they're not really entitled to have that opinion, because they don't really know what our relationship's like. You know, I still have people messaging me saying, your relationship's so fake, you're going to break up in like 3 months' time. Oh, and I'm like, what? Like, why are you taking the time out of the day to say that to me? But it's like, it's hard, because I say to people, you can't have a fake relationship if you're living together, if you're meeting the parents, if, you know, you're doing things together, going on holiday. I could never fake my feelings like that to do that. Like that, you're also hurting the family and the friends. And, you know, it really is hard, because especially when the new show's on as well, my and Andrew's relationship's getting compared to people's relationships in the villa. And it's like, it's such a, I'm still getting used to it, I think. And it's hard sometimes, because you can get compared in such a negative way. And it's kind of like, I wish people would start leaving us alone a little bit, because we're happy now, we've moved on. And some people won't let go what happened in the villa. And it's like, if I can let go and move on, why can't you, you know, kind of thing. It's crazy, people can really, really get invested in our relationship. Like if I don't post for like a day of with Andrew, people literally, have you two broken up? I'm like, it's honestly, I'm still getting used to it to this day. It's crazy.
Yeah, it must feel so mad. I mean, on the flip side, are you watching this series and then are you invested in lots of other people's relationships? Do you see it from the other side?
Well, it's interesting, me watching it, it's kind of like, I don't make judgments on the Islanders, I don't make judgments on relationships, because I'm like, now we know what happened, what it's like on the other side. It's like, you don't see every single thing. And it's like, you know, people can be like, how come they just made up after they just had an argument? Was that maybe they had a conversation in the middle? You didn't see that. So how I watch it now, I keep an open mind. I don't, you know, shoot at someone and be negative about them, because, you know, it's hard, because someone can get a really bad edit to look like a villain. And the example that happened with me at the start. And that's just how it works, because each Islander needs a storyline, and it's all about storylines in there. But I think they're all great, and I think people forget they are human. They're not robots with TV personalities. And yeah, I mean, the show so far is great, but it's definitely weird to watch it, because I'm like, oh my gosh, it feels really weird, really weird.
We'll be back with more from Tasha after this.
Need a reason to smile? Comfort Dental has you covered with new patient exams, including x-rays, for just $19. That's right, only $19 to get started on a healthier, brighter smile. With convenient locations, flexible hours, including evenings and Saturdays, and a team that truly cares, Comfort Dental makes dental care easy and affordable. No gimmicks, no stress, just quality care when you need it. Get comfortable with Comfort Dental. Call or visit comfortdental.com today.
We're still here with Tasha and we're about to go into her fourth piece of advice. Tasha, can you tell me what that is, please?
So the fourth one is be patient, there's time.
Okay.
So with this one, I think patience is key and it's kind of like hang in there, everything's going to be okay. And I wish that was the advice I gave to myself, my younger self. Because I think back then I kind of was thinking about my life, thinking, what am I going to do with my life? How am I going to make money? How am I going to get home? Like all the stress that comes with, you know, when you're young and you don't really learn much about finance, mortgages, all these kind of things. And my career as well, I was stressing about my career and I was getting told things left, right and centre what to do with my life, you know, go do law, go do all these kind of things. And I was like, that's not what I want to do. And, you know, it's all about being patient and it come to you kind of thing. But you also have to pull it out there. You have to work hard as well. You can't just sit there and let it come to you. You really do have to. It's like 50-50. Like you do first as 50, you do 50. You meet in the middle. It's just about hanging in there and as hard as times get, just be patient. The storm will pass. It's all about letting the storm pass. And yeah, the storm can get really hard, but the sunshine will come the next day kind of thing.
Yeah. So before Love Island, you were mostly a dancer, dancer with some modelling, yeah?
Yeah, so I did dance and modelling. And the thing is with that kind of industry, it's not always consistent. It's not like a 9-to-5 job when you've got a fixed salary. It's very like, you have to do auditions and with modelling, you can be booked for a year and working for the same brand and all of a sudden they can be like, okay, we don't need you anymore. So it's very kind of like that kind of world. And I did work 9-to-5 at Tiffany & Co. I used to do that sometimes as a job. So I have worked 9-to-5 as well before. And it's definitely hard because there could be months where you don't actually work, but it's like you need money and you have to kind of have to venture out into other things. But that's how it works pretty much with life. And self-employed is definitely a tough job because you're really grafting, but you're grafting because you're passionate about something you want to do.
Yeah.
So it's, it definitely is a journey, I've got to say, with dancing and modelling, but I've loved every single second. I have amazing experiences with those jobs.
Yeah. And I bet, like, is it a strange world to be in as well, right? Because it's so judgmental and so quickly judgmental, I imagine too.
Yeah, I think with dancing, I think it's kind of more open and diverse now. So in the dance world, I think that's where I started to really embrace who I am with my deafness and stuff, because the dance industry is so open and no one will judge you. Like I can go to a dance class and people will support you, people will be like, yes, like go girl, you're smashing it kind of thing. So I think dance is not really a judgmental. Back in the day it used to be with auditions, you had to be like tall, skinny, you had to look a certain way, you had to be blonde, blue eyes or brown hair with like brown eyes or whatever. But nowadays, if you've got tattoos, that's absolutely fine. If I'm deaf, wear a cochlear implant, that's fine. So I feel like back in the day, it really was like that. Whereas nowadays, it's not really the case anymore. And I think with modelling, it's definitely really, really hard with castings and trying to get in there. So I got lucky with ASOS because I just somehow got lucky, really, really lucky. It's very hard to even get in with ASOS. And it's one of those situations where with modelling, it's kind of like, you have to know yourself, know your identity, know your image, and know what's going to work for you. So it's just knowing like what's best, what you know, what's best for you. And with castings, as many no's as you get, keep going till you get a yes. Like, don't let it knock you down. It's really, really hard to say that. And for me, it did knock me down sometimes, but you have to be like, maybe it's just because I didn't have brown hair. That literally could be the case. Like, it wouldn't be anything personal to you. It could just be because they want someone with brown hair for the photo shoot. So it really is just like that.
Crazy. I mean, your fifth piece of advice is to always put yourself first. And I guess that must have been difficult when you're struggling with self-confidence. But now tell me how that manifests for you in your life.
So I would say, you know, self-love is the most important thing before any kind of love. You know, it's all about loving yourself first, because how can you love somebody else if you can't love yourself? So it's really, self-love is something that doesn't come in just a day. It's something that you have to build on. It's all about taking those baby steps with yourself. And self-love can be such a, it's like a voice in your head, isn't it? It's like that kind of thing. It can tell you one day that, oh, you look ugly, or that kind of thing. And it's like, you have to really switch that mentality and be like, no, I am the girl. Like, no, I am the boss, you know, kind of thing. You have to really switch around. And it's all about, it's like I said, it doesn't come in a day. You have to really work on it and find out what's best for you. And when it comes to relationships and stuff, sometimes why relationships don't work is because you haven't got that self-love and you're putting all that insecurities onto your other partner, and that can damage the relationship. So it's all about, like I say to anyone, before you get into a relationship, or, you know, self-love is something you really need for yourself, because you can't love somebody else if you don't love yourself. Like, it's just, you have to really focus on you first and find where you're happy within yourself, and then for the rest you'll be happy on the outside, like you ooze that happiness out there.
I mean, it can feel tempting though, can't it, when you're having a bit of a rubbish time, to go and find that validation in someone else. And we've all been
I've been there before as well, and that's where I learned, that's where I actually learned I need to focus on myself first, because it's hard, because you do want someone to validate you and give you everything, but sometimes that's not enough as well. And it's like, you actually need to work on yourself. And then when you do feel happy within yourself, you can go back and say, okay, I've worked on myself, focused on myself, found where I'm happy within myself, and then you can work back together. And I've been in that situation before, where I was constantly wanting affection, constantly wanting to be loved, and that ruined me and him, because I was constantly wanting so much from him. It got to a point where he was like, I can't give you any more. Like, I've given you everything. And it's like, then that's when it clicked for me. I was like, actually, I need to go work on myself, because it's not you, it's actually me, kind of thing. So that's definitely one of the biggest lessons I've learned in life, for sure.
I'm laughing, not in a bad way, because I love it so much. Your sixth piece of advice comes from Miley Cyrus. I'm so happy. It's not Party in the USA. Tell me what your final piece of good advice is.
That life's a climb, but the view is great. So if no one knows the song, Life is a Climb, I still listen to it every single day. It's on my playlist.
Oh, right.
I sit in the car, pull it on. I'm like, okay, if I need a bit of an uplift, I'm like, okay, this is what I need. And it's so true. Like, life really is a climb, and it's all about climbing that mountain. And when you get to the top, the view is great, because you're like, I made it, kind of thing. Like, I got through it, I made it, I achieved the things I wanted to achieve. And then you go to the next mountain, you climb again, and then another view is great. And, you know, I was, for example, like before I went on the show, with being dancer and modelling, that was me climbing. Me coming on the show, that's me still climbing, coming off. I'm like, oh, the view is great, because I got through all that kind of thing. So I think it's a really, really good, inspiring quote, I would say. I love it.
Are you good at taking time to appreciate and be like, wow, look how far I've come? Or are you kind of like always on to the next?
A bit of both. I'm the kind of person that I'm just a grafter. I always love to graft. I always love to work hard. I'm kind of like, okay, what's next? I'm going to achieve that next. Like, I've got that kind of fire in me to do that. Also, at the same time, I do appreciate, I'm so grateful for every single opportunity that's come my way. And I thank my stars every single day to even be in this position. So it's definitely a bit of both, I would say.
I think that's good. I think that's what you need, isn't it? You can't sit on your laurels, kind of thing. We always ask people what their worst piece of advice they've ever got, and why they ignored it and how they ignored it. So tell me what you were told.
So I was told that dancing's not a career. Okay. And I got told this a lot at school. I'm sure my dad won't mind me saying this. Even my dad said to me, he wasn't sure if dance could be a career. He was just looking out for me at the time. And it's not true. Dance can be a career, 100%. And, you know, when you look at music videos, concerts, my gosh, they're everywhere, TV shows, cruise ships, musicals. There's dancers everywhere, literally everywhere. And I think being told that, you know, it can't be a career, it does knock you down, because it's like, well, actually, luckily enough, I had that fire in me to be like, I'm going to prove you all wrong, go out there, move away from thirst. I came from thirst, because it's like a very small town, middle of nowhere. and moved to London and look where it's got me now. So it goes to show that sometimes you need to make the big move and prove people wrong that actually it can be a career. It's not all about having to be a businesswoman or having to be, you know, a lawyer or a doctor, that kind of thing. You know, I was just so passionate about dancing. I'm a very creative person. I just don't think I can sit there for like 9 to 5.
Good. Do you miss having dance in your life as much, or do you still bring it in quite a lot?
So I don't dance as much as I used to, purely because I'm just busy, but I still go to class at least once a week to go train. I am performing at Move It, which is the biggest dance event in Europe. That's literally in 2 weeks. So yeah, so dancing still is tied in with my life because it makes me happy. It's my passion still, and I'm not going to throw that away. It's kind of my safe space to go and dance and just forget things for like 2 hours.
Yeah, it's so freeing, isn't it? I mean, if anyone's listening and hasn't gone and done like a mad dance class, you have to go and do it. It just, there's no endorphins like it, are there? Even if you're not good like me.
I say this to everyone, like dancing's just like a freedom, you know? You know, if you want to let out emotions, it's the perfect safe space to do that. And you just feel so good after. Like, you sweated, you danced your heart out, you didn't care. Like, that's what life should be about. It's just enjoying the moment.
Yeah, fantastic. Tasha, I've absolutely loved talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us on Life Advice today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Huge thanks to Love Islander Tasha Gouri. I loved spending time with her. I hope you did too. This is the Las Grazia Life Advice for a little while. We'll be back with a new series very soon.